This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. Week 9, dude. Week 9, recapping all these games. Interesting game setup. MWR.com is where you can find all the stuff we do, our podcast, Spotify, all that fun stuff. Got Josh here hanging out with us talking about the game you left at halftime for, which is well-deserved because of the weather situation.
Yeah.
So let's just get to the games. That's what we're doing today. We're not talking what we did last preview. We're getting right to the games. Wyoming-Boise State was a disaster of a game. 32-7 Broncos. We were wrong. I figured Wyoming could at least cover. I'm like, why is Boise favored by 5 points?
I think I took Boise to cover.
I'm going to look real quick and see in our picks, but...
I didn't make the picks. I forgot to make the picks.
No, terrible. That's okay. It happens. But this game, 32-7. So a couple of things happened throughout the game. There was a weird... Like, a couple of things I noticed. Well, first off, watch the game, because I watched it Sunday morning. Wyoming had the ball 6 times in the first quarter.
Well, yeah, it's because of
Green fumbled. Yeah.
Then Boise muffed a punt, and then they had, like, 3 3-and-outs in those 6 drives.
That is wild. Not many in the first quarter. I was like, what are they doing here? It was sloppy. Missed field goal by Boise State. The trick play fooled everybody. Like I said, the muff punt. The only reason why we moved the ball down the field was the two penalties and the muff punt, right?
Yeah.
And then they end up getting
I also want to know if, does anywhere break down time of possession by quarter?
Ah, that's a good question. I don't know. Oh, for the game, it was 38-21 in favor of Boise State.
Yeah, so it's like, how much of that first quarter did Wyoming have the ball? And then did they have nothing the rest of the game?
Oh, well, they had the ball. Let's see real quick. I'll do some dumb math. They had 1:06 on the first drive. They had it 10:28. They had about 4 minutes. So that's five and a half minutes. Then they had the interception. That was about 90 seconds. That's what, 7 minutes? Oh, it does break down right here. Hold on. It actually does exactly if you look at the in-between box score. So 2:06, 3:32, 1:18. 52 seconds, 5 seconds, they scored the touchdown off the muff punt. Technically, that's a new possession. 158 and 106, and then 118. After that, what was that, first quarter? Sorry, I'm doing some weird math here. All plays, I'm looking at. But it was, that was until halftime. I apologize. I don't know, man. Wyoming had the ball a lot and couldn't do anything with it. And, where was this Boise defense, Josh? I know Wyoming's offense isn't amazing, but they were all over the place in this game. There was back-to-back sacks multiple times. They were not allowing big plays. from Harrison Whaley had 18 yards. He did nothing on the game comeback from injury. They had 27 rushing yards, include sacks. It was brutal.
I think it has to be a combination of the bye week and them getting DJ Shram back.
Yeah, DJ Shram. Yeah, I've heard of him. He's pretty good.
See, what did he do?
He didn't do much. He did nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he's not even on the stats.
But he's there, obviously. But you had, like, Andrew Simpson, 3 TFLs. You had 7 TFLs, a pair of sacks. No sacks. Oh, sorry, that's back. That's right. Yeah, sacks. They had no sacks on back-to-back plays with Hassan and Simpson. I forget when. I think it was in the second half. But this game was, like, what's Wyoming doing? They Boise's defense, like, we're under no illusion, Josh. Wyoming's offense is great. Peasley had 85 yards passing. They had barely 100 total offense this game.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I don't know.
They were brutal.
I feel like they just went away from the run when they needed to, like, keep it going, especially after getting Whaley back. Like, you know, he's been their bell cow carrier, and they needed to feed him the ball, and they only gave him the ball 10 times.
I get in halftime, and they're only down 15-7. So it's not as if they're getting beat. Even going into the fourth quarter, it was, 29-7. That's tough to come from. But they weren't – they just never really seemed into the game when that third quarter started. Because they went – they punt, three, four. Like, in the second half, they had the ball four times. It's so such a turn of events, right? In the whole second half.
Yeah.
We know they have no offensive identity. I figured they could slow down the Boise offense, which has been brutal outside of Genty. But then they bring in, like, George Hawney was back, had a really solid game. And then they had Dubar there come in, and they put him in short yardage situations to get one of the touchdowns. They did your thing, Josh. They, hey, Maddox Madsen was their primary quarterback throwing the ball.
So, fun fact. About that from Jay Tuss, the KTVB sports guy on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So Maddox Mason threw an incomplete pass in the second quarter with 7 minutes and 48 seconds left. He didn't miss a pass for the rest of the game. He was 10 for 10 for 124 yards and a touchdown.
Well, freaking Eric McAllister came out of nowhere. Like, those catches he's making, those throws, they were amazing. But that first touchdown pass, oh my goodness.
So it was kind of funny. Like, this is just kind of a little aside. I watched one of the YouTube replays, and I noticed, like, I'd have to figure out, like, how Boise does their signals, and like, but there was one replay where they showed the sideline, and the guy held up a sign that said Caden, and it had a jet under it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, maybe there's throwing out random stuff. They run a jet sweep to Caden Dudley.
Is that the end around they did, I think? I saw at one point. That's funny. Like, that's pretty on the nose.
So I was just like, I don't know. It was just kind of funny, but it was like, Boise seemed like they could do what they wanted at times, and it's like Wyoming could just do nothing to stop them.
It's bad. Like they never won a Boise State, as we talked about in the preview. They didn't do it again. 112 total yards, 27 on the ground, like we mentioned. I'm just reading off this thing in 72-20 Sports put a bunch of numbers together. 1.1 yards per rush, 111 on third down, and that came in the first half. Oh my god! Okay, I did not realize this. I know they got the ball on the other half of on their half of the field. Their offense never made it past the 50-yard line, which I didn't realize. I know they got rid of the ball a lot, but I remember they had the muff punts, and then they scored after that.
Did they? Hold on. Where is?
And then they returned a fumble to the 49-yard line as well. So two times they got past the 50, and both were off of the fumble and the punt that was recovered.
No, they got to the 50 after the fumble.
Oh, it says the 49. So,
well, it says the Wyoming.
Sorry, I misread that. Okay, so it's still regardless, it's still zero. Offense did never get past midfield. 7 yards in the fourth quarter, 27 in the second half. This was like one of the worst offensive performances they've ever put out there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't recall off the top of my head. Like we always clown on Wyoming, but they at least can kind of move the ball. I think this is the first game I can recall where they just haven't done a thing.
Yeah, normally they can run the ball well. I'm like, okay, they'll have – like I would expect maybe 200 yards rushing total perhaps. That's not unreasonable. But Boise – if this Boise team shows up against any other team, they're 3-1 in conference. They're ahead of Wyoming now in the standings. If they have this type of running attack, depending on how serious Genty's injury is, like Dubar did fine. Helani seems healthy. If they have two of those three, and if Eric McAllister does what he wants to do, but also Wyoming's DB sucked. That one guy kept getting called for PI and getting beat on double moves half the game. I'm like, dude, do something different. It's funny. And the one I looked at, I'm like, that ball's way overthrown. Why is there PI? But when they should replay, he's held well before he even makes tries to make the move. He's held well before the ball gets thrown because the QB, I assume his match is throwing, because he threw a million times. He was looking to go to the corner end zone and just knowing he'd be in that area and not necessarily saying, hey, you're open, but it's like a timing route. Like, you need to be there and we'll get you in the corner and hope you're open to get it, essentially. But when I watch the replay, because when we see it live, you see him being held, but then you see the ball like just way out there. I'm like, that's weird. Just because on the first blush, like, that guy's not catching it. Then you see before, oh, he's being held before. And the guy still swats his hand out of after. I'm like, there's no way. Like, I don't think he would have caught it if he was unobstructed. But you can't hold that egregious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was bad. And do you think, like, if Boise – I don't remember. I think I put UNLV above my power rankings. Because I'm like, I think UNLV will get to them. Had a chance to be – really good chance to at least tie for us. No, that was an unfortunate drop past the end zone. But I moved UNLV above, I think, or I kept him above, I should say, because I have him behind, because while we drop, I still kept UNLV ahead, even though they lost, kept them where they're at. But if they're sitting at 3-1 in league play, they still have Air Force at the end of the season. They go to Fresno next week, New Mexico and at Utah State. They could lose one of those games and still be in the conference title game.
Yeah. And
If they have two losses.
Let's see, because I don't think Air Force.
Air Force doesn't play Fresno.
I don't know, because let's say Boise loses to Fresno. Fresno's not losing the rest of the year because they get San Jose State, New Mexico, and San Diego State as their final three.
Okay, I'm saying two losses. There's a chance with no divisions.
There's definitely a chance, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, look at, like, ESPN, ESPN. But if they played like they did against Wyoming against other teams, they could probably beat anybody in the conference.
For sure.
And they showed up with, like what is our big thing all year? Their receiver group is like, oh, who's catching the ball? I don't know. Nobody. And then McAllister has this gigantic game. And when you look at, I'm looking at FPI at the moment. Here's what their top three are. Air Force to win the conference at 60%. Fresno 17-1, Boise 13.8. And then, this is so weird. Dev, UNLV 3.9, San Jose State at 3.8%, as giving the fifth best chance to win the conference.
Let's see.
If San Jose State actually has a third best chance to go undefeated, 15% behind Air Force and Wyoming to win out.
To win out. Okay, yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah, to win out, yeah. And so, that's interesting that they're right there.
I mean, they could do it. It just depends on what Fresno State team shows up.
Yeah. I just don't see the way Boise's playing, like, all year. I don't see them beating both Fresno and Air Force.
I say they'll beat one of the two.
That's what I mean. I wouldn't be surprised. I still think they'll beat both.
Yeah.
If I'm going to pick one, I don't know, man. It's
if I had to pick one.
Probably Fresno. Because Fresno's always, look at them, they're always a. They do good enough, but there's always a weird struggle here and there.
Yeah.
So let's get to your game, the snowball attack game. Air Force 30, CSU 13. I love snow games. Can we also make – would you be objected to making these uniforms they have every week for Colorado State?
I don't mind them. I know a decent portion of our fan base doesn't like them.
What is there not to like? They're probably – these are like the cleanest uniforms in the country just about when you see – what teams wear out there. Like, it is amazing.
I don't know. I do like them a lot. Like, whenever CSU wears them, a lot of people actually ask the same question. Like, people who don't normally look at CSU will be like, why don't you guys just wear these uniforms all the time?
Yeah.
But it's like, it isn't our identity. We are green and gold.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like,
it's in our, green and gold's in our fight song.
Yeah. I know. I get all that. I just like these uniforms the best of what they wear. And so
I do too. Sometimes I wish, I don't know how it would look. And I think a lot of people would hate them more. I almost want to see what like a blue version looks like.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. It's kind of change. Keep your color scheme or something with that logo design.
Yeah.
For this game, 30-13. Zach Lear still playing quarterback. If you haven't heard, I guess he's not injured. I don't know. Do we know, like, Troy Calhoun? Oh my
goodness. He has a knee brace on.
Yeah, I noticed that last week and this week. But we will see what's going on. So this game, like, I also noticed, did you notice that they're like those swing passes? They're not just going downfield to like Brandon Ingle or whoever. Like, yeah. All the passes were 3, 6, 9, and 14 yards or short stuff. I know it's snowy and whatnot, but there was not a ton of downfield. They tried, but it just kind of came down to what they typically do. Like, that touchdown John Lee Eldridge has, oh boy, that was amazing. But they, I think somebody put on Twitter, like, they make the, like, some of the second half adjustments, because it was tied at halftime, 13-13.
Yeah.
Before you laugh, like, well, I do laugh due to weather, because I don't blame you for that type of situation, like, get the heck out of there. When it was halftime, you left, what did you think, how did you think it was going? Because the Rams had a good second quarter, they didn't do anything in the first quarter, scored all their points, the 13 total. How did you think on your way home, if you're listening on the radio or your thoughts, what was the situation going to end up being, you thought?
I definitely thought CSU was going to cover because it was 14 and a half.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, so we actually stopped to get something to eat and watched the rest of the game.
Okay.
And you could think in Braden Fowler, Nicolosi even admitted this to the CSU website. It was his first time playing a snow game, so he didn't know what to expect, and you could definitely see it in his hands at the end of the game. Like, I don't think he had feeling in his hands, so you could tell on some of his throws, like, he was severely overthrowing his receivers, and it's like they would show the replay, and they would go back to the quarterback, and he'd be looking at his hand.
Where are the hand warmers, coaches? Where's your hand warmers? Help him out.
And you could tell at the beginning of the drives, like, yeah, he had feeling in his hands, but the longer the drives went on, the colder and colder his hand got. So I think Air Force kind of figured that out a little bit. So they let drives go a little bit and then buckled down to get everything.
Yeah, because they didn't really get after him too bad. Like, a couple sacks, a couple TFLs. They did have a lot of pass breakups in this game. But I think the first quarter is kind of what did CSU win, if you think about it. They did the smart move going forward on fourth and short on Air Force.
I still think they got that.
I did too. I looked at it. I thought it was a weird spot because it looked like he dove, like he made it past there. It was like, when I watched it a couple times, it was looked like it was there.
Well, I think they showed the replay in in stadium. I don't remember because there were a couple plays where they didn't, and that's a different conversation.
Yeah, because you can't use that. You have to use what they TV feed.
Yeah, but it's like the way what they showed the ref coming in that he got the first down, and then when they spotted it, it was half a yard back.
Yeah, that was weird.
So that was just like, what are we doing here?
And then they score a touchdown, and then you have the fumble that led to a touchdown as well. And so that doesn't help either.
That's a freshman thing. Like he knows that he like. Yeah. I think he was trying to get rid of the ball, and the defensive lineman just happened to be right there. So
what do you? And one play that was different too. Oh, I'm trying to remember. Shoot, who was it? I was watching. Oh, was it this game? I'm not gonna say because I don't remember what game. Wasn't there some weird replay on a catch and fumble for Air Force? Why was that not a fumble for a touchdown?
Hold on.
The guy caught it, turned upfield.
No. So that was the incomplete pass one.
Yeah, well, I remember that. That was like a complete fumble.
Unless we're thinking of different ones, because there was one. Air Force was like third long. They threw the ball downfield like 20, 30 yards.
No, it wasn't that. It was CSU. CSU threw like a middle route, maybe 15 plus yards. The guy catches it, turns up field, holding the ball. Then he loses it, and the Air Force guy gets it, runs it back kind of slowly. I should have my volume on. I did. Maybe they're blowing the whistle dead, which is lame. You just let the play go and see what happens. Because that's a couple years ago, NFL, like, just let the play go. So if the call is... say, like this play, it would be a touchdown. If not, it's a complete pass. If you call it dead, you're kind of screw the team if it does get their ball. But I don't remember what it was, but it was like
No. I remember what you were talking about. It was forward progress.
But is it
called forward progress for the CSU guy? But you can't review forward progress.
But is it because they blew the whistle, though, I'm guessing, right? But they called it incomplete pass, though. They had to replay down. Or not replay.
Maybe there was a third play. I don't remember.
But okay,
that was one of the other things. Is like it's a CBS game, and there was like we were laughing because like it was like 5 minutes left in the second quarter, and the game had only been going for like an hour, yeah. And then the last 5 minutes took another 45 minutes. But it was like so that may have been lost in that confusion.
Yeah, it could have been. But the game itself, it was just a second half where they were shut out. They turn over on downs, obviously, when they're trying to go for it to stay in the game, which is what you have to do late in the contest. They couldn't convert any of those. In the second half, they just couldn't move the ball offensively. They had, 6, 9, 13, 20 plays, and 23 plays, I think, in the second half and did nothing with it. But they just... had one substantial drive in the second half of 12 plays. I know it's a snow game. I know it's a weird game. They don't know. Why did Avery Morrow not play? Is he just not available?
He played.
He got no carries.
Got hurt.
He got nothing from what I can tell.
I mean, he started. Like, he was announced as a starter. I swear I saw him on the field.
He got no stats, from what I can tell. But this just comes down to the Rams are – they're not far off, but they're not, like, there. You know what I mean? Like, they seem like a team they could – like we talk about all the time. They could scare somebody, but they're not going to get it done. But Air Force with Emmanuel Mitchell, John Lee Eldridge, Zach Lear. Like, Eldridge had some big-time running plays. But this is a game where Air Force defense is really good. They just they weren't getting sacks. They weren't getting pressure too much, but they were not allowing completed passes.
Yeah. I mean, CSU's defense was up there too for a little bit, and then I think...
Oh, yeah. Like 13 points in the first half. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, they held Air Force to less than 300 total yards.
That's good. And because they couldn't throw deep, they were not letting that happen. And that's usually... Zach Lurie has one or two of those big time plays a game. Their third down defense wasn't great for Air Force complete 8-15. There's that. Like they were fine. Yards per attempt, 4.6 is not elite for what Air Force can do. It's just that Air Force just grind them down.
I mean, as I say, Air Force is averaging 5 on the season. So yeah. I think it was just, Air Force ground them down. I mean, they had a couple of injuries. You had one to defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Our starting cornerback went down. Torrey left before half. He wasn't going to. He didn't play the rest of the game. So it was just a battle of attrition.
Yeah. So it's a good matchup. They'll be there. I think the Rams are close to stuff, but they're just kind of once they get a little more talent. All right. What's our next game? Are we talking New Mexico, Nevada?
Yeah, I think Nevada is on the Kyrie Robinson, Jeremy Moss revenge train.
Something like that. 34-24. They win with Brandon Talton kicking, five field goals in this matchup?
I believe so.
What did he get? Five, six? Mm-hmm. Double check it.
No, four.
Four. But, yeah, this three interceptions helps a lot. Dylan Hopkins did not play the whole game. Devin Dampier actually came in and played quite well. Ran the ball.
I noticed that in the highlights. I'm like, what happened there? But then Hopkins came back in the second half.
I don't recall the injury thing, but he had three picks. That's not great. I watched a little bit of this game. I'm trying to figure out how did Nevada win this big. They had short fields. They got stopped by New Mexico's defense, but they're close enough for field goals. That's my short answer to this game, the Cliff Notes version. Neither team was good on third down. 3 of 12 for New Mexico, 4 of 13 for Nevada. 12 penalties against Nevada for 111 yards. Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, New Mexico turned the ball over three times, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Those interceptions, yeah. So I was like, let me look at their drives. So we had their scoring drives, 69, 5, 75, 34, 24, 81, 30. I mean, their scoring drives actually weren't that bad. I guess it was just everything else.
Yeah.
Non-scoring drives.
For New Mexico, you're referring to?
No, for Nevada.
Oh, yeah. Nothing substantial. They scored, 10 points off turnovers, I think it is, if my box score is correct. It's probably not, because I'm on ESPN for some reason. ESPN has it backwards, so I don't know what's going on here. They show everything 0 points until the end. But this game wasn't close. That second quarter is ideally, or honestly, what did them in, scoring 21 unanswered points. The first 24 at halftime. There's no way the Mexico team's coming back 24-0.
I mean, they almost did.
Yeah, but they didn't. They were close. Yeah, close. But it's not like Nevada did anything great. Their defense fell apart in the second half. Their running game was okay. Like, it wasn't. It was better than what it has been with Jamal Bell. And then they had show up by Jacques. Badalate Birdsell. Maybe that's right. Had a touchdown, 37 yards. Like, Delvin Campbell played pretty good. They just got, it's basically plus three turnover margin is what they're able to score enough points. And they did, defense had a great first half. Second half, they went back to old Nevada being outscored 24-10. And that's kind of the game was. New Mexico had 10 tackles for loss. They were in the backfield like crazy. And somehow Nevada still had Jamal Bell and Brandon Lewis still average about over 6 yards to carry easy. That's wild to think about. That they had so many negative plays against Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
How did Nevada score 34 points, man? Like, they don't score. They won 6-0 last week for San Diego State. 6-0.
Well, they had a pick six.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other point. That's where it was. There's 17 points. Yeah, 17.
Turnovers, yeah.
I was looking at the wrong thing. I'm like, I knew there was some big defensive play. But that's the most points they scored all season.
That was that second quarter. Because, I mean, they only scored 10 points the second half. So,
are they winning three in a row? They have Hawaii next week. Are they beating the Warriors in Reno?
In Reno?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're giving right now FBI 67% chance to win.
After that egg Hawaii lead, yeah.
Oh boy, this I don't know, man. Like other serious questions. Can Wilson do anything special to turn them around? Because beating San Diego State, even with them being downs, that's a solid. That's a pretty good win. I'll give them credit for that easily for beating a team that's usually top four in the conference. I know they beat New Mexico. But they held on to win. Is there something brewing there in Reno with Ken Wilson? Because we're all thinking he might be fired when his buyout reduces because they're getting their head bludgeoned in the past 2 years.
I mean, it seems like he's turning into Craig Bull. He's like the defense seems to have taken corner. They're relying on the running game.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they can get a decent passing game, this team has a chance.
Yeah, because they played both guys this week, A.J. Bianco and Brendan Lewis. And Lewis is a good dual threat guy. At least he can run. His throwing, it's just enough to keep teams honest, I'm guessing, who aren't very good. I don't know. That's a good win for them. I think they'll win three get three wins this year. All right, what do we got next year? Are we going to the game of the week, Fresno-UNLV?
Yep.
Fresno State.
Almost gave it away again.
Almost, again. 31-24, they beat UNLV. And we were talking before, like, okay, how good is UNLV? Because they haven't, outside of Michigan, they haven't really played anybody great. Because we mentioned when they beat CSU, drive stalled, and they were able to kick field goals, and that helped them get the victory last weekend in Vegas. So this week, Fresno gets Mikey came back in the lineup after being out for a couple weeks. Malik Sherrod didn't do anything special running the ball, which we thought he would. It's just, again, same thing with the Nevada and New Mexico. One quarter did them in. The third quarter, 24-0. Like, that's a complete disaster. The first half, UNLV was doing fine. Jaden Maeva is moving the ball. Vincent Davis, like all the running backs, Donovan Lesser, they're all doing reasonably well. They're leading at the halftime, more than reasonably well, I should say. When you're winning, they got the interception with the field goal, trying to think of it right there. They scored at the end of the half. They forced a punt, but then that second, like in the first possession, like you're thinking, okay, they score, they force a three and outs at the end of the half. They score a touchdown, 9 plays, 72 yards. Great, they're up by 10 points. They forced Fresno to punt, but then they don't get the ball. Fresno gets it again. They score a touchdown. Then that's basically the game over, where it's three and out, touchdown, interception, fumble, touchdown, interception, turnover on downs, interception again. But the big play, we saw the big play. The guy's in the end zone, wide open,
yep.
Just bobbles it. I'm like, it's funny, our Twitter, I put, that just kind of hurts. And you see Fresno fans, for who? I'm like, who do you think, man? We don't exclusively care about Fresno State, Air Force, UNLV, CSU, anybody. Wide open, right in his hands. He's probably made that catch. That's like a 97%, if not higher, catch ratio every time it gets to him. Nobody near him. He catches it. They tie it. Probably overtime is whatever, but it's like, it's so bad. And I just feel for the guy because they played a great game. And it's that third quarter, and it's a couple things. I'll let you get in here, but the third quarter and then the two interceptions they had in the second half, it only led to a field goal. So there's that. I guess a fumble, too. So there's 10 points off turnovers. Does not help. And then that's the one they turn over on downs on an incomplete pass. But, man, this was a first one, almost let it go again.
Well, it's the same thing we saw against Arizona State, but this time, you know, they finished a little bit. You know, UNLV had four turnovers. UNLV outgained Fresno by 112 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They were 9 of 18 on third down. They were 2 of 3 on fourth down. This seems like CSU Bobo era ball. Whereas, like, you have this offense that's doing great. Defense can't stop anybody, and then you can't finish the game.
It's a matchup where this loss showed me UNLV's, they're one of the teams with a single loss. They can make it back to the champion. They can make it into the championship game for sure. And I have no doubt they are talented enough to beat anybody in the conference.
Well, all right. They got New Mexico next week. They got Wyoming the week after.
At home.
And then they have to go to Air Force.
Mm-hmm. That's tough. And then San Jose State, I think that could be interesting because they've been improving.
Maybe a win or two. I don't see more than two.
Two? I think you go into Mexico, San Jose.
Yeah.
2-3, 8-4, that's celebrate, man. Build a statue for Barry Odom and say, Barry Odom, it was lovely to have you. Now let's go be the Cal head coach or something. Who knows?
That wouldn't surprise me.
Not if only Justin Wilcox could have finished off USC with like a 2-touchdown lead late in the game. That'd have been nice, but that didn't happen. But this, I think you're right because it's going to be a team where they need to. Here's why I really think it comes down to: they don't know how to win these type of games. They're never in this type of position. I don't care if you have a new coach who's done it. I don't care if you have assistant coaches, a couple players who transferred in. They don't have players even the coaches have Barry Odom. I know he's done things at multiple schools and has pretty successful. They don't know how to – they're never in the situation where how do we win a game where we are leading at halftime? How do we overcome adversity? Which they almost did by coming back like after that atrocious third quarter. So they're close to doing that, but it's a thing. It's like if you've never done this before, it's like you don't know how to act sometimes. Like you said, the Rams quarterback, he's never been in a snow game before. How does he handle that? It's new. And so I think that's a legit thing to say. But what's your confidence level in them? You think they're just going to go 8-4 and that'll be – I'm not going to say that's it, but they're not going to be in the championship picture?
No, I think championship comes down to Air Force, Fresno, or Boise.
Okay. All right. Final game of the weekend. Oh, boy. Fresno State – or excuse me, San Jose State. I'm looking at the Fresno box score. 35, Hawaii 0. I'd have to look.
I feel like the Spartans left a lot on the table here. I feel like it could have been a lot worse than it was.
Why do you say that?
I mean, they missed a field goal in their opening drive.
Okay.
They fumbled on their third one.
Mm-hmm.
Downs, punt. Like, I feel like there's a lot of missed opportunities that just little things that are why they are 4-5. Like ignoring their start to the year where they play two strong teams.
And they played reasonably well versus USC too. I thought they played all right.
Yeah, but that's USC with their no defense.
Yeah. True. Fair point.
And then they ran into Oregon State. And then, like, if they hadn't lost to Toledo, and if they hadn't had another letdown against Boise, I would have had San Jose State as one of those three teams instead of Boise.
You think so?
Yeah.
So what do we think about them? They're 3-2. Can they – well, let's kind of get to this game. I want to talk something else about it, but – do you – I'm going to look it up right now if I find out. Do you have any off the top of the head when last time Hawaii's been shut out at home?
Like, it had to be June Jones.
Okay, I think I found it right here. Here it is right here. Perfect. The first thing I Google, I want to check. This is the first home shutout in 25 years.
Wow. That was way off.
Me too. I was like June Jones was – yeah, 2010. New York. This was probably – I'm trying to remember – was Richie McKee a coach at Hawaii? I don't remember. But it was – and also we should note, this is the Dick Tomey Legacy Trophy as well. So 35-0 win as they get the trophy. But
That was also something new. I didn't realize they had a trophy.
It's pretty new. Because he passed away recently. So that's kind of why that's – well, no, that's definitely right. Why that's in place. Because I believe he coached at both places. But this game itself – oh, Kyrie – oh, man. How did I not leave Kyrie Robinson, man? 146, two touchdowns. There you go. Good job, buddy. Keep it going.
I said the Kyrie Robinson, Jeremy Mouse revenge trade.
Oh, I know you mentioned that before. I know, but we're not in the game specifically. That's the thing. We're here now. Okay, they crushed Hawaii. This is what – I want to say good teams. I don't know if they're a good team. They're playing much better. And when you look at, like you mentioned, they lost to USC. They lost to Oregon State. The Toledo game was just terrible interceptions. I remember watching that on ESPN Plus. They got crushed by Air Force. Not really, and it was Boise State. Lost by 8, But then again, I'm hesitant to say they're going to be good, Josh. New Mexico, Utah State, Hawaii. Show up when you play for the Valley Trophy versus Fresno State next week. Or 2 weeks, I guess. It's on. They get a bye week after November 11th. They played as well as they could have in this game, like you mentioned, and also having situations where they could have scored more points.
Yeah.
They had a couple – the rushing defense was amazing. Their pass defense, they had to pull in Jake Farrell for Hawaii over Shager didn't finish the game. Both had a couple picks. They had 4 sacks, 7 TFLs. Hawaii just literally couldn't do anything on third down. They were, 2.5 yards of play on rushing the ball, plus 200 turnover margin. They're a team where – do you give them a chance for Fresno State next when they play in 2 weeks?
With Fresno State playing Boise and San Jose State coming off a bye, yeah. Oh. I'll at least take them to cover.
Okay. I know. Let's look at the FPI really quick because I know we don't have any lines yet at the moment. Okay, we're going to play a game we used to play a lot before. I played basketball and we do football stuff. Got the FPI. What do you think the percentage is that San Jose State wins this game?
14%.
51%.
Against Fresno State?
Yes, it's 51.4% right now.
Okay.
Do they need to kick the computer again to recalibrate? I don't know. That seems interesting. I figured maybe 35 at best.
With help, like...
He's speechless.
I don't understand this math.
He's speechless, folks.
Where's that S&P Plus post? Hold on.
I'm looking at FBI right now. I know San Jose State's higher in there too, which is interesting. They're what, third, I think, in the conference?
They're fourth.
And remember, FBI likes them a lot because they give them the third best chance to win out, and they give them the fourth best chance to win the conference. Or excuse me, fifth best chance, basically tied with UNLV and San Jose. 3.8 for Spartans, 3.9 for Rebels.
I guess the analytics just doesn't like Fresno State, because, I mean, let's look at their schedule real quick. They had barely beat Purdue, but that was a comeback. Barely survived Eastern Washington. Had laid an egg, kind of, against Arizona State. They lost a game they shouldn't have. But they played Nevada kind of close. So, I mean, I can kind of see it, but at the same time, I feel like that's disrespectful to Fresno State.
I think it is too. I know it's at San Jose State, but it's not like there's at CEFCU Field, they have a giant home field advantage there.
Well, I guess that brings up a question. Is there a home field advantage component to these statistics?
Probably a little bit. Yeah, I bet they're the same as betting line, edge or line. Like, if you're at home, it gives you a better chance. But I can't see it being that much.
Not to the extent of FPI having it. Yeah, no.
No. Okay, let's. Do you think, because they're sitting at, what's the record? They have two league losses, correct? They're 4-5. They're 3-2 in league play. What type of opportunity could they seek into the championship game? Could my preseason pick actually turn to be correct if they win a handful of games down the stretch and make it there with two losses?
If they make it there with two losses, so they win out. So Fresno State, San Diego State, UNLV. They'd be ahead based on tiebreaker.
It's them versus Boise, right? Or Air Force?
Well, depends on how Boise State does. Because if Boise State and San Jose State finish the same, Boise State would have tiebreaker.
And then it'd beat Air Force. That would put them above them tiebreaker with one loss.
So it would require Boise to lose three?
Well, no, they'll replay them. No, they need to lose two. He's got to be tied.
That's true.
There's a lot of football to be played because Wyoming also has two conference losses, and they don't play San Jose State. I was trying to think a lot of the way they've been playing. And part of it, I'm still skeptical because of who they played. So,
yeah.
But guess what? If you're a pretty good team and could crush these bad teams, that says a little something.
I can also see, going back to that FBI thing, did they give Wyoming a chance?
Let me pull it up real quick. To win the conference or win out, what criteria?
For both.
Let me pull it up real quick. Give me just a moment. I think they were, because who's on their schedule? Who else do they play? Do you have that? I'm trying to think.
CSU, UNLV, Hawaii, and Nevada.
That's pretty fair. Maybe one loss. They are given a 1.9% chance to win the conference. And, oh yes, remember, their winning out percentage was number 2, as I mentioned. 17.9% compared to our Air Force at 21.8%. So Wyoming's definitely in the mix, especially if they beat UNLV.
Yep. But Wyoming's two losses are to Boise and Air Force.
So that's tiebreaker. Anything else to add for this week? We're coming down the crunch wire where we've got to pull the calculators every week to figure out the tiebreaker situation, but...
Where's Sicko's committee to find the 7-way tie that we need?
Oh, boy. Well, we have quite a few two losses. We'll see. It'll happen if Fresno and Air Force. Here's where it'll come weird. If Boise beats Air Force and Air Force loses some other game.
Yeah.
Or actually, all I want, no. We don't even need the word tiebreaker. We just need number 2 versus whatever, because I remember last year in the Pac-12, Utah somehow snuck into the championship game. I forget how. There was all random tiebreakers because they lost to Oregon State and Oregon. They made in and won. So I want to see. I don't care. Number 1, cool. We want the tiebreaker to make it easier. Is number 2 versus whoever else. So that'd be like Air Force beating Boise, give them two losses, UNLV ends up with two losses. Well, I mean, like, that may not happen, but like a bunch of two-loss teams to figure it out. That's what I want to see. It'll be great. We'll see how it goes. Anything else to add for this particular week nine slate we had? Because we're fortunate to not see San Diego State offense, so there's a positive two to add.
No, it was like, yeah, like defense, like some defense has stepped up this week, some offense has stepped up. There were definitely some surprises. So we're looking to see what's ahead.
I think Boise can, the way they played, if they can keep it going and Genty's fine and healthy's back and him and Helani are healthy. Watch out, man. That could be a thing to come. But we'll see how you guys next time. We'll get to week 10 next week to chat about all the games we have going down the stretch run because we have a handful left. And it's going to be an exciting set of games. So, again, MWR.com, MWR.com. Check it out. And let us know how you like the podcast. A few more people are listening, so that's nice. And we'll see everybody next time. Have a great week. And stay warm if you're in a cold place like us.